And with the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, September 28th, the final Sunday of September 2025. We come to you coast to coast, from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. Of course, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out to my guy, Bailey. Over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM kids, if you don't know what that means, say it with me. Ask your parents. Apps like iHeart, TuneIn, everywhere else you get a fine signal in this world. You can hear my voice. I'm very thankful for that. Of course, special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm going to be with you for the next hour, once again filling in for Andrew Zarian. A lot to talk about per usual. With AEW Collision last night, finishing up the week, the post All Out week. Remember last week's show was 2 hours. We had so much to talk about. We'll chat about some of the returns. We'll chat about what an angle that I think should have happened at All Out that could have happened at Dynamite to make that show feel more big, more important, more consequential, and kicking off another angle. I'll chat about that. More titles are coming, of course. More factions, more everything. Chat about that. NXT versus TNA, it's heating up. We have a date on the calendar for a promotion versus promotion show. And guess which date it is and who they're going up against. Talk about that. Social media blunders. People can't help it. A former TNA star just can't get away from it on social media. We'll talk about that. And of course, I'll also give you some thoughts about The Smashing Machine, The Rock's new movie, which comes up this weekend. We'll chat about that. I saw it the other day. All that and more awaits you the next hour or so. So stick around with me. My name is Josh Nason. This today is Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, September 28th, filling in once again for Andrew Zarian, who will return next week. We close out the month of September. Hard to believe we're already here. Congratulations to you. If your Major League Baseball team made it into the playoffs. Mine did on Friday night. The Boston Red Sox, for the first time in 4 years, will play in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Very exciting. I know there's some fan bases out there are a little bit upset because theirs did not make it. But yeah, we have wrap up baseball day, of course, football, and of course, pro wrestling, which never has an offseason. Ever, ever, ever. I remember once thinking that this is when it was really just WWE around. And I think TNA at that point, I almost wrote a column of an off season, right? If WWE just took like 3 months off during the summer, how dumb was that? Can you imagine? It'd be so great just to have some time away and really kind of start a season. Actually, I think I can't remember if I was going to do a column on WrestleMania being the start of the season or the end of it, but that was kind of my premise of maybe just taking, you know, a few months off. Maybe it's during the winter time. Or something. But yeah, it's a hard belief. We'll never, ever, ever, ever do that. And of course, AEW ran last night. That was a perfect segue there. Collision. And a lot of things happened. Not major things, but things. And this was kind of another week where you came off an AEW pay-per-view that was in terms of excitement and really kind of building the next thing, which I, as you've heard me on this show before, I prefer. You know, I come from the that model of your pay-per-view, your show after your pay-per-view, your Fallout show, what have you, really sets some things up and keeps that excitement going. In AEW, usually it's like the second week after that things start really kind of get moving towards the next show, which would be Wrestle Dream, but we had some changes. And as I was thinking about with the, you know, hindsight being 2020, and I was thinking about the All Out, and I was thinking about Dynamite and so on, I have a suggestion how we would have done things differently. If you watched All Out, you saw Christian Cage, Adam Copeland, Beth Copeland making her on-screen AEW debut. Of course, we've been hearing her voice for quite some time. She has the You Think You Know Me line now in the beginning of Edge's The Alter Bridge song. Adam Copeland. Please don't sue me, WWE. So they had they defeated FTR, and there was the post-match angle with Stokely Hathaway and FTR delivering a spike pile driver to Beth Copeland to put her out. I'm saying put her out of action. She's not really like officially in the roster or anything like that, but you kind of get what it's saying. And as I was thinking about this, and I kind of saw how things played out on Wednesday, I think they should have saved that part of the angle for Dynamite. Because you benefit in a couple different ways. You have the feel-good moment in Toronto, those guys winning. Beth Copeland, they're standing in the ring, all three of them, and then you go to the next match. FTR is upset. They have a couple days to stew on it. And then you announce for Wednesday, Adam Copeland and Christian, and Beth Copeland on TV. A lot of people might tune for that. Maybe not a ton, but you might have some people tuning in for her debut on AEW television. So that's kind of big there. And then afterward, they're celebrating whatever, and that's when FTR does the thing. And maybe it could have just been Copeland and the Copeland family, and Christian's not even there. Yeah, there's two, and maybe Beth's just about to say something, and then FTR comes out, and then that leads into that angle somehow, right? I think that would have been, it would have kept the moment for All Out. It would have had a new moment on Dynamite and really kind of set that holy bleep, we're still going here. And you still accomplish it, but you get kind of several moments for the price of one. You get Beth Copeland appearing in front of two different audiences, and on that Wednesday, you have people tuning in that maybe didn't watch the pay-per-view, and they're able to see her, and then you have that moment. I'm big on, I know, I've talked about moments, seems to be all wrestling is about these days, but I think that had been kind of a impactful moment on Wednesday to set some things up. They did a kind of a backstage thing, they filmed all of, I don't know if it's, maybe Tony Khan is the one to ask some of these guys to come TV. I don't know. I'm a big all hands on deck person, and I think if you're your biggest show of the week, your biggest pay per view thing, it should be let's make the biggest show possible and set things up for the next month and just kind of keep that story going. I jotted that down this week because I thought that was notable. Other things that happen on Dynamite, we have our first match set for WrestleDream, which is an I Quit match between Jon Moxley and Darby Allin, which will be violent as everyone expects. It'll be just like the coffin match, and except in more ways. I don't know what other ways they can get more violent, but I'm sure these guys will. So it's the next continuation, but again, this kind of angle keeps going. I expect Darby to win this one because Darby Allin has never defeated Jon Moxley in one-on-one competition. I believe it was three times, maybe four. They've gone at it in AEW, and maybe there was an indie match as well, so maybe conflating there. But Darby Allin's actually never beat him, so that'd be a good. He's got to beat him one of these days, right? So that'd be a good time to do that. So, really, the news of the week happened on Collision of all spots, and we'll have plenty of time to chat about this because we learned that Kenny Omega returning to action on day AEW Dynamite. He is going to be joining Brodito to take on the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander. Why wasn't that announced Wednesday? That's a good question. Maybe, again, it's hard to complain, I guess, because we ask for things to happen on Collision, and then when they do, I'm saying that. So, I don't know. I thought that would have been a surprise it was announced where it was, but regardless, Kenny Omega returning after his month away to action AEW Dynamite. Doesn't seem to be initially targeting Kyle Fletcher. However, that certainly could happen. Kyle Fletcher is going to be on the show defending against Orange Cassidy, defending his TNT title. The reason for that is because Hologram apparently is truly hurt. And that seems to be the word. It's because Tony Khan took to X after Collision to say that Hologram likely is out the rest of 2025. I don't think he would do that for a storyline reason, because obviously there are sometimes when someone's injured, like you have to be able to take him at his word. So I assume Hologram is legit hurt. What happened? I don't know. He wrestled on Wednesday and seemingly was okay. And then he was taken out in an angle at the beginning of the show where the evil clown appeared on the screen. And then Kyle Fletcher was just beating the hell out of Hologram. I've done that a lot this week. And Hologram is out of action. Then shortly afterward, Hologram is likely out the rest of 2025. As of this recording, I don't know. I assume it's legit. And it's, this is a guy that, as I talked about last week, it's Tony Khan has really tried to make something out of him. This is an idea, kind of an original idea, but I don't know. It just really hasn't worked for me because there's so many other masked men that they bring in from CMLL that to me are so much more impressive, like Moscow Dorada, which was last week. That's like, okay, you know, and he's undefeated. He's 34-0. I don't think those whole single matches. I think they do tag team matches as well, which I can't stand. I like, if you're talking about a guy or a girl's record, it's singles matches, right? Because you're on your own. So, or you know, three-way or something like that. But so he's undefeated, but it doesn't feel like there's any momentum behind it. And I think the feeling that I'm feeling is probably what the feeling with AEW fans are as well. And does this, so again, not really sure what happened, but does this mean that the Klon character is going to be on ice for a while? Does this mean that the Klon character is just going to appear and that's going to build towards something? I don't know. But Command or Hologram, God, I did it again. He was out for a significant amount of time last year from it was October 2024. He got hurt, suffered an ankle injury at WrestleDream, and he was out through February of this year. So there's definitely some stops and starts with Hologram. However, you know, one guy leaves and 20 more seem to take his place. So again, we'll see if Klon that gets moved up. I assume it will. But with him gone, there is certainly no shortage of talent that came back. Just in the past week, Jack Perry, Orange Cassidy, Commander, Pac, and Eddie Kingston, all coming back. Of course, Kenny Omega, a different category. We'll talk more about kind of what that means, what it could mean in the next segment. But you have a lot of talent that's just returning. And what do you do with all these people? And who are they going to replace? Where are they going to be on the card? We'll chat about more about that and more after we come back from the break. This is Josh Nason, and this is Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. Sunday, September 28th. Let's continue the talk about AEW Collision. So yes, as I was mentioning before the break, a lot of people coming back. And I also didn't mention Dalton Castle came back on Collision last night. And these aren't major names, right? And they kind of have some things to do. So Dalton Castle came back. He's teaming with the Outrunners. His return was first teased 4 months ago on a Ring of Honor show. And he still has not appeared on Ring of Honor at all. And he made his in-ring return last night. He did a vignette a couple weeks ago with the Outrunners. So it looks like they're going to be a trio. But it's going to be a mid to lower card type act. You can kind of feel that already. He was out for 14 months with a torn bicep injury and required surgery. Jack Perry, as we mentioned last week, he is now back and he is teaming with Luchasaurus and Jurassic Express. Now reunited, so he has something to do in the tag team division. Orange Cassidy has returned. He will, again, slot in for Hologram to take on Kyle Fletcher this Wednesday. Commander made his return to in-ring action last night after about 6 months away. Orange Cassidy was out for about 6 months. Jack Perry has been out. I believe his last AEW match was last November. He appeared at January's Wrestle Dynasty, but it's been a long time for him. Commander, as I was getting to, his return was announced for a Mexican indie show last week. And we were kind of curious, is he going to make his AEW return before that? He certainly did. Looked good last night against Kyle Fletcher. So he, in a loss there, as you might expect, poor guy. But he's back in the mix. But, I don't expect anything different for him than I did before. Orange Cassidy, I think, is probably going to be the same situation as he was before. You know, Jack Perry has something to do now with this new Jurassic Express, so they'll fit in the tag team division. Pac is back. Of course, he came back at All Out. His first match has not been announced back, but I'm certain that's going to happen. You know, one of those deals where, you know, he travels in for a few weeks, disappears, comes in, and so on. So we'll see when he kind of gets back in the mix with the Death Riders. So that will be... It could get a little bit more physical this week, of course, and perhaps his next match is going to be scheduled for one of the homecoming shows. And Eddie Kingston, who returned to tag team action, his first TV match since, over a year and a half since his injury. So, of course, he was at All Out, made his in-ring return there. And, yeah, still, you know, another tag team, him and Hook defeating Brian Keith and Big Bill. So, yeah, we're getting some different pairings here and some things to do, but that's a lot of people just kind of drop in the middle of that mid card. And it remains to be seen who is going to be, who's maybe going to get less time. Is there, Commander going to move over to maybe do more Ring of Honor stuff? Could we see more Outrunners and Dalton Castle on Ring of Honor as opposed to AEW? Or are they really going to be built up? or is it just something for them to do? I don't know. But that was one thing that kind of stuck out. Just all of a sudden, you know, you lose the top end, the Will Ospreys, the Swerve Stricklands, Kenny Omega's been out, but you get a lot in kind of the middle. And but if you're not doing anything with it, that, you know, those collision shows get a little bit more packed, and we'll see who benefits and who does not benefit from that. So we also had a bit of a change with, before I get to the AEW Dynamite runtime and so on, let's talk about Blood and Guts. Tony Khan asked about this on a media call several weeks ago, and he had mentioned, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but I think it was along the lines of, I would expect one before the end of the year. So it's a little bit different because he has traditionally done these in the summertime, in June or July, especially the last 2 years. I was in attendance for one of these, and it might have been the last one, or it might have been two times ago, actually, in Boston at the TD Garden. So that was quite a spectacle. However, going to be a much different Blood and Guts match this year, my friends. We're going to see the women in there. That's right. First ever women's AEW Blood and Guts match is coming. We don't know when. I am speculating when in just a second. But it appears on one side it's going to be Jamie Hayter and Queen Aminata and ... against the Triangle of Madness, being Julia Hart, Tekla, and Sky Blue. Jamie Hayter made that challenge last night after the evening's main event. And we'll see if it's going to be 5-on-5. I would assume so. And who joins them? And we're finally going to get, hopefully, some conclusion to the same group of 10 to 12 women fighting nonstop for weeks and weeks and weeks. It's got repetitive. Chris Statlander might be in the mix as well. I expect Toni Storm to be in the mix. So Toni Storm is going to be on Dynamite coming up this Wednesday. And she is her first appearance since losing her title at All Out. And I would expect if the first ever is going to be attached to anything involving the women, that Toni Storm is going to be part of it. I wouldn't be surprised Chris Statlander is part of it as well. So that would then almost round out the, and probably Willow Nightingale, I assume she's going to want to be in the mix. And that's just a question of maybe evening up the heels, and there you go. When it's going to happen, I'm going to speculate. It's going to happen during the homecoming shows coming up. So if you look at, I was looking ahead at the calendar last night, and for these shows, you do like kind of a bigger venue. I assume they're not going to run it on a traditional collision. However, in 2 weeks, just about, during the week of October 5th, AEW is holding both their homecoming editions of both Dynamite and Collision at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, Florida. That was the location for the first ever Blood and Guts match that happened way back, 4 years ago, give or take. My prediction is it's going to be on one of those two shows. One of those shows is going to be on Tuesday, which is Title Tuesday, which is going to go head-to-head with WWE NXT, which we're going to talk about in a minute because that show certainly got ramped up this past weekend. And they also have Collision happening live on Wednesday that next night. So there's no Saturday Collision. However, there is a Wednesday Collision. Both live, and I think they're not going to string this out for like months and months and months. So I think it's going to happen in one of those two shows. And it definitely probably, you know, if you're AEW, do you put it head-to-head against NXT versus TNA? Sure, why not? I don't know how many title matches are going to have that show, but if you're going to do it, you might as well do it there. Or they could do it on that Wednesday Collision just to have a reason for people to go to Daly's Place. And since this angle kind of kicked off in a Collision, part of me is thinking now as I'm talking through this that they'll probably do that. So I would expect that to maybe be announced this Wednesday on the 6th anniversary show of Dynamite, which, my friends, is going to be half an hour longer than usual. Last night it was revealed that the show coming up this Wednesday from Hollywood, Florida, a place I've been before and have not been back since. Special 2.5 hour of the show. So it's going to be an extra half an hour there. Of course, we have John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, and Daniel Garcia taking on Hangman Page, Samoa Joe, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Chris Statlander and Darby Allin take on Marina Shafir and Wheeler Yuta coming out of last week. Kyle Fletcher, as I mentioned, defending the TNT title against Orange Cassidy. Jurassic Express make their official return back to action. Again announced, Kenny Omega, Brodito taking on the Young Bucks and Josh Alexander. That should be really great. Toni Storm makes an appearance as well. And then I'm sure maybe one other thing, two other thing, and so on. But I think Blood and Guts is going to get officially announced this Wednesday. We'll get a little bit more information, I think, and more teases toward what's going to be the big matches at WrestleDream, which is coming up in just a few weeks' time. And Collision next weekend is going to be a hour earlier. So if you want to head out and about, it's going to air approximately at 7 o'clock. It's airing after a college football game and a post show on TNT. So it's going to be about an hour earlier. So they're trying to get that advantage moving up a little bit. So we'll see what happens there. Thursday, that show is going to be taped also in Florida. So we'll know kind of what's going on with all that. So yeah, a couple changes for this upcoming week on Collision. And Dynamite. I don't hate either of those. Again, the Dynamite, the anniversary shows, you want to make them bigger and want to make them badder. And with Collision, hey, move it up an hour. You know, might as well go for it. But yeah, it was a kind of not a quiet week, but it's just kind of a slow and steady week for AEW. Not to me a ton of excitement for WrestleDream yet, but again, that usually happens the second week after, and perhaps that's why they kind of maybe put it on the back burner a little bit this past Wednesday because they knew they had the anniversary show coming up and homecoming. Be nice if they could kind of like tie those in. So you have these week to week type things where you don't have to turn the heat down. You can keep that burner hot, and so on and so forth. We got a couple more minutes before the break. A couple things I did notice this past week. You notice that the Cope name just kind of disappeared. Now it's just Adam Copeland again. What a weird thing this year, right? as I start preparing for my year in review series, the name Cope just disappeared. And it's probably a good thing. Adam Copeland a lot better than Cope. We had more titles introduced this week. To be introduced, we have the AEW Women's World Tag Team Championships are coming. We don't know when, how, or anything about it. But we do know they're on the way. I don't hate it because they have so many women. And as I mentioned in the onset, in the open, titles and factions are the things that are saving booking when you have large rosters. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't necessarily think it's a great thing. But I've definitely noticed that, and I'm sure you have as well. You need to have something for people to do, or else they're going to get a little bit complacent and they may complain a little bit or so on. You know, not everyone wants to just sit around and collect a check. So what do? You create more titles. And this is going to be, I believe, the 7th title for AEW. Of course, we're not counting any Ring of Honor titles, but 7 championships. And yeah, they have enough women on the roster that they should be able to pull off a half decent division. It just depends on, again, like anything, the commitment level to it and more titles. You give some, I think a lot of people expect Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa to be the first champions there. It is possible, but typically sometimes, Tony Khan, at least early on, what was expected was not what happened. The Young Bucks were not the first AEW tag team champions. Kenny Omega was not the first AEW world champion. So we'll see. I think we have no idea about brackets. We'd have no idea about time frame. We just know at some point they're coming for the end of the year. And yeah, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens next. NXT versus TNA talk coming up next. This is Josh Nason, and this is Wrestling Observer Live. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, September 28th. Once again, filling in for Andrew Zarian, who returns next weekend in this very spot. Keep the seat warm. Let's talk about NXT and TNA, because they both had a weekend in different ways. These two companies are now so aligned, it's difficult to kind of tell like who's winning, who's not winning. Maybe no, as I say that, because we had Thursday's NXT, and of course all we Thursday's TNA. See, I'm already doing it. I'm just combining the two. We had some of the stars from TNA invading NXT this past Tuesday. And of course, this Thursday's TNA show was taped. And Friday was Impact's TNA's Victory Road. A show that, when I was putting together the lineup for our live post for the website at WrestlingObserver.com or F4W Online, depending on what your preference is, I was putting it together. I'm like, am I missing something? What's the main event? Because there was no Trick Williams defending the world title. There was no, obviously there was no Knockouts championship match for reasons we'll chat about in just a second. Masha Slamovich pulled from the card, and her her run in TNA, as I would say officially, has come to an end, but I think it probably has, and not a good scene there. And of course, with Dana Brooke and so on, there was really no clear main event. And I need to actually go back and see what they ran as the TNA X Division title, Leon Slater taking on Myron Reed. So yeah, that was it was kind of meant to move to this match that he's having coming up with Javon Evans. We'll chat about in a minute, but they had Victory Road, and I saw a tweet the next morning that said they had this big invasion. TNA sent all their best to TNA to NXT to invade. And in return, I think what they said, it was Kalani Jordan, and NXT sent like one person, maybe two to Victory Road to screw things up. And it's like, okay. And so that led to NXT No Mercy, which was Saturday. And that led to a lot more coming up, which includes, yes, Invasion. Yes, the pay-per-view that happened so many years ago in a 2001, I think it was, when we thought that, oh, WWE versus WCW. WWE had bought them. The Invasion star, of course, Sir Lance Storm was part of that. Fan of the show, friend of the show, friend of this website, of course. And ironically, working for TNA Wrestling. Or coincidentally, rather. And so they're bringing back Invasion. We were so optimistic back then. We saw how that ended. How is this one going to end? Is TNA going to win the war? What are we thinking? Probably not. But yeah, so we have Invasion coming up, of course, on Tuesday, being up against Title Tuesday. So that's coming up in just over a week's time. And I'll get you all the details here in just a second. But this is a Tuesday, October 7th on the CW live. So this is of course announced at No Mercy. Yeah, it's going to be a crossover event as Dark State is going to take on the Hardys in a title for title match. And unlike the title versus title match, the TNA title versus NXT title, everyone's going to be barred from ringside. There must be a winner. And so there's going to be a lot there. I'm sure that'll lead into Bound for Glory. Where does this thing, like, there's going to be, what, two Survivor Series matches? One's a men's, one's a women, and a title match, and maybe one other match, I'm sure. But where is this, like, leading to, right? And is this going to be the TNA TV deal on the CW? Because, you know, these angles, these interpromotion angles, they do need an end at some point, unless they become the promotion just, like, there has to be an endpoint, or else you become one promotion, right? It's not special if people are around all the time. So where is this going to end? How is it going to end? And given this past weekend, is there anyone doubting that NXT is going to be on top in this thing? I saw another good point made this week. Ash by Elegance having to drop the TNA Knockouts title and not, apparently doesn't seem to be a storyline. I have actually not seen what maybe the real reason is, if it's a medical situation or something. But she's saying that she has to put a pause on her in-ring career. And it's too bad for her. I think I called her by her WWE name earlier. But yeah, she had finally kind of broken through after a long time post-WWE career. And in TNA was a title holder by Elegance Brand and so on. And just bad timing for her. So my thoughts and so on for her. And hopefully she's doing okay short-term. And long-term, she relinquished the title on Friday. And I believe the tweet I saw was that TNA, instead of giving it to one of their own talents, they gave it to an NXT talent again, which is Kalani Jordan. And that I hadn't thought about that way, but when you keep having to bring someone in from the outside to be your champion, I don't know. That didn't give me the best feeling for this. I don't know. I'm sure that the hardcore TNA fans are loving this, but I just, there's this hesitation because we've seen how these things have gone before. And if you're just essentially just giving up your creative book in a lot of ways to the big bad in WWE, I don't know. We had Santino Morella saying this week that once TNA gets their TV deal, that they're going to be the number two promotion. I think he kind of acknowledged, said, Tony Khan has all the money, but really who's number one and two and so on is really up to the fans, while also saying WWE is always number one. He said in his lifetime, that's never going to change. And that's probably true. As a comment, I was received with a lot of skepticism. But yeah, I have my healthy skepticism about how this relationship is going in this past weekend and so on. It's, I don't know. That Invasion show is going to be very interesting to see. I think, is there any way to load it up more? Is this going up against Title Tuesday? Or are they thinking that NXT versus TNA is good enough? And it very well might be. Who knows? We also had a new champion crowned at NXT No Mercy. And that new champion is Ricky Saints. Yes, the former Ricky Starks. Finally, getting his run with a big singles title. Of course, he had the North American title, but in terms of really something notable being the NXT championship, that happened. He defeated Obafemi last night to win the title. And now he will, I assume, Obafemi go to the main roster. We'll chat about that in a sec. But Ricky Starks of Ricky Saints finally getting his shot. And this is going to feel good considering how things went in TNA or TNA, boy, all these promotions. It's like alphabet soup in my head in AEW. And it's kind of, it didn't really feel great, right? See what was going on with him. He's on Guantanamo Bay. Well, now Britt Baker seems to be stuck there permanently till her contract is out or whatever. I was thinking about Britt Baker actually yesterday, and I wonder at what point a talent does ask for their release. Are they clearly she's not coming back? So is it just she hasn't asked for a release because WWE hasn't shown the behind the scenes interest in bringing her in? Or is she just kind of like, I'm making so much money, I'm doing the dentist thing, I don't really need this. I'm very kind of curious as what is going on, what her mindset is, what she wants to do, and is there interest out there in bringing her in? Go back to Ricky Saints, who did get his release, and yeah, it's gonna feel good. The NXT run has felt in terms of expectations. I don't know if underwhelming is the best point, but you would think that he was going to go to the main roster when he first came in, but he's doing his thing now. And I would assume he gets there at some point. It comes kind of a nice full circle moment. We'll have to see how this all plays out and how long he's in NXT, how long he holds the title for, how it works. And as we've seen with, babyface champions, it is so much more interesting when the babyface is the hunter and not the hunted. You kind of see that a little bit with Hangman Page. I'm still fine with the title reign, but there is a little bit kind of that is, you want to see the bad guy get his. And get his being like losing a title. And then once that happens, you have to have a long string of other despicable heels to try to get that title that really kind of make that babyface sustainable, at least in this day and age. And we'll see what Ricky Saints has. We'll see how he does. But his reign begins this Tuesday. So good for him. I'm sure that feels good after so much time with just not sure what you're doing or not being able to wrestle. And yeah, interesting year and I'm turning that to be a good year for him. We have a few minutes left before we wrap things up next segment. Gail Kim, I didn't want to get too much into this. This is not my fight. Can people just stay off Twitter? This is someone that going into last week, you asked me last Sunday, is there going to be some sort of controversy with Gail Kim on X talking about other wrestlers and so on? I probably said, I don't think so. I think she's above the fray. Doesn't appear that way. And she got into about Rio, who I mentioned last week on this show. Rio does nothing for me in the ring. It never has from the start. She's not my cup of tea, cup of coffee. She is for other people. Great. Cool. Not mine. But Gail Kim kind of went in on her a little bit, and kind of a little bit how she portrayed, and then that she just went right into the off ramp and drove right into the hell that is social media. And now she's labeled as having a side, which is the anti-AEW side. Is that what she was trying to say? I don't know. I tangentially kind of follow this thing. I know Dave Meltzer got involved and had a thing I think was a little bit too much of a lecture, if we're being honest, and how to apologize and what they should say and all these type of things. But yeah, and Gail Kim was like tweeting at people like 9:30 in the morning on a Saturday about stuff. I'm like, what? Super successful husband. She's has her own super successful career. She's out of wrestling right now. And I'm surprised AEW didn't make a run at her when she was cut from TNA. But she's got a legacy and she, you know, respected, right? I didn't ever hear bad things about Gail Kim. And now she has a label because of just going on X and just arguing with fans and people. Again, you don't know their names. I just, what are we doing? What are we doing? Delete the app, log out, go for a walk, look at your bank account. I don't know. Just, is it worth it? Who are you playing to? You're playing to a sea of just of nothing. nothing. In my last minute here, I want to talk about Smashing Machine. Comes out this Friday, I believe, in theaters everywhere, starring Dwayne Johnson. On tomorrow's being Monday's Josh Nason's Punch Out, my podcast I do for free for WrestlingObserver.com, also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Just search Wrestling Observer. I'm going to do a full review of the movie, as spoiler-free as I can. And I also have an interview with Boss Root, and I talked to Boss for about 15, 20 minutes this week. And so I thought the movie was good. Oscar-worthy? I don't think so. I think there's a lot of fighting in the movie. But the movie was well worth my time to go see it. I got invited to a screener last Monday, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think it is hard for someone as rocky as Dwayne Johnson to not be that guy. But there were definitely moments that were just, I kind of forgot it was Dwayne Johnson. Emily Blunt, I think, is great. I think Ryan Bader's fine. I think a lot of people were kind of saying, this is incredible. I think they're just giving it credit because he wasn't an actor. Boss Rutten, very good in the movie. And overall, if you're going to go see it, you won't be disappointed. That comes up this Friday. You'll hear more about that on my podcast tomorrow. And we come back, we'll look at the week ahead. We'll wrap the show up. Wrestling Observer Live with Josh Nason. Coming right back after this. Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. Final segment. My name is Josh Nason. Thanks again for welcoming me into your ears this week. You can catch more of me at WrestlingObserver.com. Josh Nason's Punch Out coming out Monday. A look at the Smashing Machine and an interview with Boss Rutten. And you can also, if you're listening to Sports Byline on the airwaves, you can hear this show for free at WrestlingObserver.com. If you missed any of it, of course, on Spotify or Apple Podcast, just search Wrestling Observer. Let's get into looking at the week ahead, sponsored by myself. Monday, Raw. I believe another 7 p.m. start time for that. And we have Tuesday, NXT. So the NXT versus TNA war will continue, as we lead into Invasion coming up the week after that. AEW Dynamite coming up on Wednesday, the anniversary edition of the show. I went over that rundown earlier. 2.5 hours of Dynamite action from Hollywood, Florida coming up this Wednesday. I expect a newsworthy show and some Wrestle Dream stuff coming out of that. Of course, this Thursday, Ring of Honor, Impact Wrestling, a not live edition of the show this week. They do tapings this past week. You can catch those spoilers if you like on WrestlingObserver.com, but of course leading into, Invasion and Collision being taped Thursday night. Friday, SmackDown, and then we have AEW Collision, like I said, coming up this Saturday at a special 7 p.m. start time, and then nothing on Sunday. So a nice light week for the wrestling fans. Of course, I didn't include any New Japan or AAA or CMLL or any of those things, but for all the things that matter, go to WrestlingObserver.com. And again, The Smashing Machine comes out this Friday nationwide. Interesting to see how it does. A lot of buzz for this movie. Is it going to be a blockbuster? I don't think so, but I'm very interested to see how it does, how people are into this. I don't think it's going to be an Oscar-winning movie, but I think those that aren't into fighting will be surprised by how much they like it. And I think if you like any of that stuff and The Rock, you'll enjoy it as well. Thank you for joining me this week. It's been an honor as always. And we'll talk to you again down the road. My name is Josh Nason, and this has been Wrestling Observer Live.